Once again, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages, you are now tuned into the Investor Show. As always, this is your gracious host, the Prince of Investor, Prince Dice, coming to you guys and girls live, all the way from the beautiful city and state of Denver, Colorado. Don't forget to hit that like, subscribe, comment, and share button. And as always, I don't have a lot of time, and I definitely know you guys and girls don't have a lot of time, so let's get straight into it. So I'm getting my microphone straight here for the people that are catching this live. And all the other great stuff. You know, of course, they wanted to act up on me today, right before I went live, but, you know, I'm getting straight. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, if you are catching this live, don't feel free to tell me where you're from. Tell me where you're from. Right, all of the good stuff, while I kind of get this microphone to get its act together. But tell me where you're from and whatnot. And also, if you haven't done so already, ladies and gentlemen, go ahead and make sure. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell icon. Hit that like, comment, and share button. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and children of all ages, we're going to have a very great episode here. My microphone is together now. We got a very good topic today, We got a very good topic today. Tonight, we're going to talk about the Senate. The Senate has passed as you can see running across the bottom, the House. I'm sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen, not the Senate, but the House has passed a $2.2 trillion coronavirus bill and what it means to investors. That's what we're going to talk about today. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about the stimulus bill passed by the House. What does this mean for investors? We're going to talk about creating the next bubble. We're going to look inside of the bill. We're going to talk about the political risk of the bill. And also the secret stocks that are inside. So, you know, I'm going to say that for the end for my avid listeners. So thank you all, guys and girls. So first we're going to talk about the bill. But before we jump into the stimulus bill being passed, let's see what you guys and girls are saying via the comments. Rick says, hola. I don't know what that means, Rick. We got Tony. What's going on, Tony? Tony's out of Ohio. He said, will it pass the Senate? We're going to get into that. Kareem Smith said, hello from Las Vegas. Okay. Las Vegas in the house. Okay. Casey Patterson, what's going on, Casey? Nice to see you here. Denver, Colorado. That's where I'm at, ladies and gentlemen. And then we have Sam Jackson from Wisconsin. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's talk about it. Let's break it down here. I'm going to share my screen here from the Wall Street Journal. Let's first talk about the Senate bill. Let me pull it up right here. Boom. From the Wall Street Journal. This is what they passed today. And let me take this off one second. This is the stimulus bill that was passed today, right? Ladies and gentlemen, it's been the House passes a $2.2 trillion relief package. Now, just because it passed the House, it doesn't really mean that much. After it passes the House, it has to go to the Senate. Like Tony said, it has to go to the Senate, then signed off by the president, and then the Department of Treasury has to sign the bill. I mean, can't sign the checks to send out the checks to everybody. So anyway, this is what they're trying to pass here. This is what we're looking at. This is Nancy Pelosi. She's the majority leader for the Democrats, pretty much. Her and Stephen Munch. Stephen Munch is the Department of Treasury chair. And then you have, I can't even think of his name. He's the majority cheerleader for the Senate. But her and Stephen Munch, they've been going back and forth about trying to get a bill passed, with a bill passed or whatnot. So later on in the show, we're going to break down that bill being passed. And when we break down that bill being passed, we're going to talk about some nuggets that are in there for investors. Because, ladies and gentlemen, it's not about what's happening today. I'm not a very political person. But I believe in, you know, finding ways that politics tie into money. Now, how this becomes very political, this is the political risk, ladies and gentlemen. What is happening that's huge this year that I can kind of see? Right now, we're in the middle of election season. We just had the first debate. I know everybody's just going crazy about laughing about the debate and how good it was or whatnot or whatever the case may be. So, you know, I wore a pennant today. My microphone is covering my pennant. I took all that time to put it on. My microphone can't even cover it up. So anyway, this is the political risk, ladies and gentlemen. We have an election right around the corner. You have the Democrats. They believe that, hey, Vice President hopeful Biden, he can win. If he wins, then they want to pass it. They think that they can win over. If we wait till after the election, we think the Democrats can win the Senate. right? So people are looking at that. So now you got some, it's this whole political mess I don't like to get into, but the Democratic leverage is, hey, if we wait until next month, the election, we can win the Senate, then we can get the bill past the Senate. Then if we can just wait President Trump out, then we could just pass it with our own. We'll have the president, we possibly could win the Senate, and we currently control the House. So that's why the Democrats are kind of maybe want to push off to the election. Also, you have the Republicans on the other side of the House who wants to get it done before the election because there's even more better ticking points. What's a better thing to do than to put money in people's pocket right before the election? Right? You know, a lot of us have short-term vision. So you got that political risk. This is where politics and money go together. I believe the Democrats, they won't mind prolonging it versus the Republicans would mind getting it done right now because it's a very big headline to draw as of right now. But just to let you know, Democrats are for, and usually the left side is for bigger government. They want, they like bigger spending plans. They want to put more money into people's hands. Versus the Republicans are saying, hey, we're spending too much money. We just spent $2.2 trillion. You're talking about spending another $2.2 trillion. They think the economy is on a rebound already. So they're not big on a big spending plan. So Republicans want it lower. The Democrats want it a little bit higher. And then you have Stephen Munch, who's the Department of Treasury. He wants it right there in the middle. So you got all these political powerhouses that are going after each other with their own interests. So I don't get all into that stuff. I just look at it and find ways to benefit. Now, here's the downside, ladies and gentlemen. Here's the downside that I can see what's happening. I think that when you're spending this much money, you're going to create the next bubble. But before I jump into that, creating the next bubble, I'm going to talk about creating the next bubble. Before I get in, let me see what y'all say in the comments. All right. Will says, what's going on? What's going on? Alan Williams, what's going on, Al? Miss Ruby, how you doing? See that Apple and that Tesla's coming back all right, huh? That's looking pretty good. Here you go, politician, you know, posturing around. He said, I believe it when I see it. I believe one is going to get passed, but I think we have a lot of own interests and side interests that are kind of slowing things down. Mercer says, no deal yet at the election, $1.2 trillion or $5 billion. That's the truth. Everything else is BS. Speak the truth. So that's what a lot of people are saying. Some people are saying, hey, you know, nothing's going to happen to after the election. That's what some people want to happen, but we'll see. But we have to pay attention to this. But more important than that just happening, let's talk about how this bill and how this spending can create the next bubble. Right now, I'm studying the 1907 crash, the 1907 crash that happened in 1907. And I noticed with every crash from 1907 to 1929 to 1987, I forgot about the flash crash when President Kennedy got assassinated. I think it was 62 to 87 to 2000, 2001 to 2008 to currently 2000 to 2020. So when you look at all these major stock market corrections and crashes, most of them are propped up by politics. What I mean by that is when something major happened, like a pandemic, we overreact and it sets up the next bubble. So I believe that with these very, very low interest rates, I mean, interest rates are ridiculously low. This is the time now if you want to borrow money. Money is very easy to borrow. That's why you're seeing people buy houses. I mean, that's why they lower interest rates. Buying houses, you're seeing people can go out and refinance their current house. They can go get a car. All these things they can do with these very low interest rates that are there to prop up the economy. But with very low interest rates and just printing money, that sets up the precedent of potentially creating another bubble. What I mean by that, ladies and gentlemen, is when you have these very low interest rates, the first stimulus package, not only are the interest rates low, but they did a bond buying program, meaning they brought corporate debt, meaning they're propping up the stock market. So when you're pumping money into the stock market, great for investors, you're pumping money into the stock market with very low interest rates, people are losing their jobs, and you're just passing out a bunch of money. This could set the stage for the next big bubble, and there will be another market crash. There will, every asset class, real estate, business, stocks, a bubble will create, a bubble will burst, and then a bubble will create, and a bubble will burst. So it just happens. So when I look at this and studying and knowing history will repeat itself, so if you guys and girls really follow me and see my stories, you see how much I read about old school people. You know, that's why I like the old school people, like the Warren Buffetts, and, you know, I'm getting into Jesse Livermore. These guys was way back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, going back to John Adams. I think they believe the wealth of a nation. Because when you learn the history of the country and you learn all the things that happen, ask yourself, why do we have an SEC? Why do we have an SEC? What happened to create the SEC, right? Why do we have all these laws in place? Something happened. Something happened called a Great Depression that happened in 1929. When you look into before 1929, look how that bubble was created. Everybody was borrowing money, buying stocks. That just became a way of life, right? So this could potentially, the downside is that this could create the next bubble. When you're pumping money into stocks, you're putting money into people's hands who don't even have a job. And then you're also creating very low interest rates for investors now, and you're printing money and you're creating very low interest rates. This can prop up the next bubble, right? Which we know is going to happen. That's my guy, D. Brooks. I know D. Brooks. He said, hit the like button. It's free. Over 20 people in here. Good content. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. If you haven't done so already, hit that like button. If you haven't done so, ladies and gentlemen, this episode is only going to get better. So we're going to talk about reading. If you haven't done so, hit that like button, hit the share button, start a watch party, all that good stuff like that. Thank you guys and girls for tuning in. That's catching this live. People that's catching the playback on your podcast, Apple and iTunes, thank you for tuning in as well. So right now, we talked about creating the next bubble. Now, what does this mean to investors? This is bullish. This is a bullish indicator for investors. Before we get into that, let me look at some of you guys and girls' comments. Why is this bullish? Pretty common sense why it should be bullish. Lieutenant Lawson said, are you live? Yes, I am live. I know sometimes I put up things. I'm live right now, Lieutenant Lawson. Yes, I am live. Miss Jew said, thanks for reading that stuff for us. No problem. Exactly. That's my guy right there, Max B. He said, exactly what's going on. Bubbles being blown up. Yes, I think that this bubble, but you know, this happened in every asset class, ladies and gentlemen. When people right now, the last 2 or 3 days, everybody's buying stocks. Guess what I'm doing? I'm selling stocks. I'm creating a watch list, waiting on the next downturn in the economy. Just 2 weeks ago, last week, everybody was scared and thought the tech bubble had burst. Who remember my episode of last week when everybody thought the tech bubble had burst? And everybody said, yeah, everything is overrated, man. Now look at Amazon is back up. Apple is going back up. All these companies are going back up. So what I do, like right now, when the economy was down, when Apple was sliding, I was buying it. When Amazon was sliding, I was buying it. Now that it's coming back up, I'm selling mine. You know, I had the TQQ. I tell you guys and girls about that all the time. Yeah, I get it out of my portfolio. And then now I have my list on what the stocks I want next. And the stocks that I want next, I'm just waiting for the market to slide. I get mad every day that I wake up and the market is doing good. Even though it benefits me because it's some companies that I want to buy, but I want to wait till everybody gets scared. Like, let's say President Trump loses, then I think we're going to see the market take a swift downturn. And that can give me a great entry point. Fundamentals tell you what to buy. Technicals tell you when to buy. My fundamentals have told me what to buy. Now I'm turning around looking for when to buy. And I'm waiting for an economical downturn. I want everybody to get scared so I can go in and buy it exactly, right? Lieutenant Lawson says, okay, great. I love you, man. Appreciate the love. Where you from, Lieutenant Lawson? Thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed the content. He says, should I just hold on to my Tesla? I bought it at $46. I wish they gave me dividends. You bought Tesla for $46 or $460? If you bought it for $46, yes. The longer you hold a stock, the less riskier it becomes. I will hold it. Why would you, unless you need the money, think about it. If you bought it for $46, like I'm thinking you said, the stock now is like $460. But if you bought one share for $46, you should have like 4 or 5 shares for $46 now. And you're probably up, I don't know, 1,000%, I'm assuming. And if you are, why would you sell that? And why would you sell that and have to pay taxes on that? If you sell it right now, pay taxes. You're going to have to pay taxes on it this year. So what I would do is I will hold on it, defer it, because all you're doing when you have a high growth stock, if it pays you dividends, you got to pay taxes on dividends. That's why I used to be a very big dividend guy, like dividend. But if you are someone who is a growth, I'm not sure what you're into, Lieutenant Lawson, but if you're someone who's looking for growth, you want to keep off the tax man as long as possible. Let the taxes go further and further as possible. Don't be trying to take the money now unless you need it. Unless you're older, you retire, you need a cash flow, then yeah, I would take a dividend. But other than that, I want to stock. Actually, I don't like stocks that pay dividends because I'm looking 10 years down the line and a tax deferral. Everybody look at the president. Oh, the president ain't paying the taxes because he's deferring his taxes, right? Somebody who brought Lieutenant Lawson, who brought Tesla for $46, let's say 5 years ago, he hasn't paid any taxes on his Tesla's gains. He's essentially has deferred, pushed them off. I hope that helped you out. We'll get back into this. All right. So Max B said, me too. I hate green days. Yeah, I hate green days when the market is going up. I want the market to go down. So that's my good time to be like, okay, when everybody is selling, when the stimulus package doesn't go through, coronavirus levels go up, everybody gets scared. That's a great entry point for me. Great entry point. Alabama. So he brought it for $46. Hold on to it and defer. Veteran entrepreneur, I want to see at least a 30% decline in S&P. You want another bear market. You saw it in March. Veteran entrepreneur, he wants a 30% decline. That's definitely a bear market. Miss Cynthia Brown is from California. Thank you for checking in, Miss Cynthia Brown. Stephanie said, do you put these chats on Spotify podcasts? Yes, I am on Spotify. I am on Spotify, iTunes. I don't know, anywhere you can get, you know, a podcast. I'm on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio. So this is live. Then after this, these are all on, you know, you can look me up anywhere you can find podcasts. There's a bunch of people that start carrying my podcast. Shout out to them that I didn't know who they were, but great. I'm on Pandora. One day I was on Pandora listening to music and I found myself on there. So I'm on Pandora. I'm on Spotify. I'm on iTunes, iHeartRadio. Google Podcasts, everywhere. Sam Jackson said, where's the best place to start as a new investor if you want to start small? Not much risk taker at this point. You know, go with the index. Go with the S&P 500 index. SWPPX, Sierra Whiskey, Papa X-Ray. And if you're brand new, you got Robinhood, you may not have that. You may have to go with the SPY or the QQQ. That's going to get you the top 500 companies in the world. Large cap companies. That's what I would start for a new investor. He said another March. Oh, you're an LS1. Congratulations. Logistics specialist, man. I used to be an LS1. He said another March. That's what he wants. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's go ahead. And before we get into this, we're going to talk about, you know, let's look inside that bill. Well, let's talk about how this is going to be. This is bullish. This is very bullish for the airline industry and the stocks. Right now, the airline industry is talking about laying off of 32,000 people. 32,000 people is what the airline industry is talking about laying off if they don't get another stimulus. You know, the airline PPP that they got back in March, April, the bailout that the airline industry got, it expired on September 30th. Once it expired on September 30th, ladies and gentlemen, they can lay off as many people as they want. So now they're looking to lay people off. And if they don't get another bailout. So right now, all of the proposals, even on the Republican side and the Democratic side, everybody's talking about bailing out, giving a second round bailout to the airline industry. If they give a second round bailout to the airline industry, this is going to work wonders for airline stocks. I won't say work wonders, but they are going to assume some debt. But this is going to push the stocks up, ladies and gentlemen. So this is a bullish thing for stocks. They're pumping money into the stock market, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to know that because we're going to go inside. We're going to go to Wall Street Journal and CNBC, and we're going to go inside of this House passed stimulus package. So that's what we're going to look at. So this is a very bullish move for airline stocks and whatnot. So let's go inside. Let's take a deep dive, because once we go inside of this, we're going to discover another nugget for investors. All right. As we go inside, I'm going to tell you guys and girls how to look into it. This is going to discover another nugget for investors. All right. So let's take a look inside. Let's say stop here. We're going to go to share. Let's take a look inside of the package. So I'm pulling up CNBC. According to CNBC.com, this is what they propose. Right here. the Democrat bill. They're calling it the Democrat bill because it was passed by the House. It still has to go to the Senate. The Senate's probably going to shoot it down. And then, you know, they'll probably go back and forth. Who knows? I think that if I was a betting man, I would think they're going to reach something before the election. Right. Because of, you know, even though the election is next month, I think they're going to reach something before the election and it's going to push the market up. So here's the Democratic bill. Right. So this is going to reinstate the $600 per week enhanced unemployment benefit through January. So they're going to give people unemployment until January. They're going to send a second $1,200 check to most Americans. I think that's people who on their taxes last year, they get $1,200. I mean, they make under $100,000, they get a $1,200 check. Number two, they're going to give $436 billion in relief over 1 year to state and local governments. So giving $460 billion to state and local governments. Number three, they're looking at authorize money for second round of PayPal protection program lent to businesses that was hit the hardest. So they're going to give a second round to businesses to get PPP plans and things like that. Number five, I think I'm on. They're going to send $25 billion to airlines to cover payroll costs. Right here is why airline stocks are going to jump up. If they give them $25 billion in return, airlines cannot lay off people. Airlines cannot pay dividends. Airlines going to have to issue warranties to the government, things like that. And usually they're not going to allow you to lay people off. They're not going to give you money so you can go lay people off. So number six, I think this is, I'm on. If I'm wrong, please excuse me. They're going to inject $75 billion into COVID testing and contact tracing efforts. All right. Number seven, they're going to put $225 billion into education, into $57 billion into childcare. I'm thinking maybe the companies, I'm not sure how that's going to be spent, allocated. They're going to set aside billions for rental and mortgage assistance. This sounds like forbearances, right? Stopping people from filing foreclosure. So ladies and gentlemen, that's what they're looking at doing inside of this bill. Okay, much countered the Democrats' plan on Wednesday with $1.6 trillion. So right here, they want to spend $2.2 trillion. The Secretary of Treasury wants to spend $1.6 trillion. That's what his counterproposal, NBC reported. It includes a $250 billion state and local government relief, $400 per week, extra unemployment, $150 billion for education, $75 billion for COVID relief, and $60 billion for rental and mortgage relief, right? So this is what I want you guys and girls to pay attention to. Now, when you read that, you see inside of that bill what they're talking about inside of that bill. Now, when you look at that bill, I want to know, it's a nugget that I caught inside of that bill that I want to know what you guys and girls are going to catch. But before I get into that nugget, let me see what you guys and girls are saying here. We're going to get into that nugget. I read it, and I want to see if you guys caught it. LK Ross said, if this passes the Senate, I'm going all in on call options again. If this passes the Senate, right now, you know, this is going to push the stock market up, and they're saying they're going to get call options. That's how you're going to look at it, right? He said, should I be looking into leverage ETFs during this time? Which side? Leverage on the bullish side or the bearish side, Mr. Casey? Bullish or bearish? Me, I'm the bull. Put the horns on my head. I'm not the devil, but I'm the bull. Because if you take me and Casey, for example, let's say if he brought a bunch of bearish ETFs, meaning he bet the market is going to go down, and I brought a bunch of bullish ETFs. Who you think is going to be right? He might be right in the short term, but all I got to do, I might just hold on to him forever for the next 2-3 years. Even though they're not built for that, they're not made for that, they're not built for that, I still have the bull over time would be right. I can't say your name. He says, this is a good time for gold. This is the crazy part about gold. Gold crazily, inversely, has been running up and down with, it has been running up and down with the stocks. Stocks go up, gold go up. Stocks go down, gold goes down. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't catch that nugget, if you notice the nugget that you see, coronavirus testing stock. Now you notice the Republicans, they want coronavirus. They want to allocate $75 billion to coronavirus testing. You got the Senate. They want to allocate money, billions of dollars, to coronavirus testing. And you got the Democrats. They want to allocate money to coronavirus testing. Now you got to ask yourself, who are the coronavirus testing companies? And whoever they are, what are their stocks? Coronavirus testing stocks. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to put out a disclaimer here. I am not a medical person. I'm not well-versed into the coronavirus testing facilities and who does coronavirus testing and stuff like that. But you got to think about it. Whenever this bill passed, all three major players, Department of Treasury, Stephen Munch, Nancy Pelosi for the Democrats, and I can't think of his name, the Senate Majority Leader for the Republicans. I know what his face looks like, but I can't think of his name. But all three of them, when you read all their bills, when you look at what the Republicans kick back, they want coronavirus testing. They want to allocate billions of dollars to coronavirus testing companies. The Democrats, they just put up $75 billion. They want to do coronavirus testing. The Department of Treasury just said he agreed on $75 billion. So when you see all this back and forth, I look at the comment lines. And everybody wants to do airlines. Nobody's disagreeing with airlines getting relief. Nobody's disagreeing with coronavirus testing. Bigger than the airline companies, bigger than anybody else, coronavirus testing keeps coming up in everybody's proposal. So my question to you guys and girls, who are the coronavirus testing companies? Those are the ones that's going to be very bullish. Those are the ones that made me say, when I read this bill, when I looked inside that bill, I started scratching my head and say, well, coronavirus testing, who are these people? Who are going to get money to test coronavirus? Is it Johnson & Johnson? Is it Pfizer? I heard of a new company I'm going to look up now. We're going to go over a company here shortly. But who are these people that's going to benefit from coronavirus testing? They want to allocate Department of Treasury and the House wants to allocate $75 billion to coronavirus testing company. Who are these laboratories? Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't done so already, make sure you got your investor show cup. That's the way I read. This is the way I read financial reports, and this is the way I read the stimulus package relief and found another gem. I'm not going to be honest with you guys and girls. Am I going to run out there and go buy coronavirus stocks? Probably not. But I want to shape your way of thinking. When you read things, how to look for, I don't care about a Republican or a Democrat or the president or the new president. I'm not going to sit here and argue about the debate, the presidential debate, who said what. I'm just listening through and say, ooh, wait, hold on. Well, who are these people? Airlines, I already know they're going to get a second round. They already got a first round. Who are these coronavirus testing companies? Let me see what you guys and girls say in the comments before we look into this. I'm with the bull, Casey. Now, right now, Case, I don't buy bullish ETFs until the market goes down. I wait till everybody gets scared. Like right now, I'm selling my bullish ETFs. I wait till everybody gets scared, wait till everybody say the end of the world is coming and whatnot. Then I buy my bullish things. All right. We got the Tech Monkey. Did they put the Safe Banking Act in the bill for cannabis? I didn't see anything about cannabis. The Arky eat hold that fang. Any thoughts? RAKK ETF is said to hold the fang. All right. The fang, if you don't know what the fang is Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, and Google. So he said the RKKK is said to hold. Well, veteran entrepreneur, you said you was an LS1. Why you got to say it is to hold? You should know how to look that up. But don't worry about it. We're going to look it up together right now. I'm going to look it up, and I'm going to show you guys and girls how to look this up. So you don't have to go about what somebody said. You know, on this show, I teach you guys and girls how to fish. So let's go on a fishing trip. Grab your tackle box. I should make a little segment for fishing, you know. And what I say about fishing, ladies and gentlemen, I like to say, when I like to say fishing, ladies and gentlemen, I like to talk about teach a man to fish. You feed him for a day. I mean, no, if you give a man a fish, you teach him for a day. I mean, if I tell you something, I teach you for a day. But if I show you how to fish, I teach you for a lifetime. RKK. We're going to look it up. All right, so we're going to look this ETF up. He's saying, does the RKK hold, what you call it? So this is what I do here. All right, so this is the RKK that the veteran entrepreneur. Shout out to all my veterans out there. As y'all know, I'm active duty military 17 years, right? So I'm always going to look out for the veterans. So right here when you pull it up, this is the RAK ETF Trust, RK Innovation ETF. This, you know, this is an ETF. All right. It says this investment seeks long-term growth of capital. The fund is actively managed fund ETF that will invest under normal circumstances, at least 65% of the assets into domestic and foreign equities with companies that are relevant to the fund's disruptive innovation. So they're looking for disruptive innovation. That's what this company is about. So let's go to portfolio. We go to the portfolio of the company. Let's see what is the top 10 holding. All right. This company has Tesla, Square, Roku, Zillow. I don't see nothing here about Amazon or Netflix. The top 10, 51% of this company. This is not me saying it, ladies and gentlemen. This is what you can look up yourself. 51% of the company is held by Tesla, Square, Roku, 2U, Illuminaire. That's a very good company. Very good company. Illuminaire, Slack Technologies, Zillow's group, disruptive companies. So their job is not to track. I can't remember who does it, but it might. So this one would not be one, you know, that I would look into. Look into a technology ETF. You know, this is for somebody. This company, if you read the investment statements, is telling you they're looking for things that are going to disrupt. They look at Square is a disruptor. Tesla is a disruptor. Illuminaire is a disruptor. Zillow is a disruptor. Roku is a disruptor. You know, Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google are nowhere in here on the top 51%. Now, the other 49%, they might be in here a little bit, but if they're not in the higher brass, then that's pretty crazy. Right now, and you can find this, you can look up the prospectus. Hopefully I didn't say that word wrong. Right here. Go to this right here. Go to the prospectus. Let me see. Let me look at it. Prospectus. All right. Let me see. Can I look it up? Mm-mm. Right here. Funds, securities, and SAL. All right. That's not telling me nothing. Portfolio holding. The description of this fund's policies and procedures with the respect of the disclosure of the funds. Securities. No, I want to see your actual holdings. Oh, here we go. Oh, that's the management fee. I want to see the holdings. I'm going to see the, like we saw the top 10, 51% of the holdings right there with E-Trade, but I'm looking at the prospectus. It should be in here somewhere. Tell you exactly what you're holding. Oh, let's go back. And let's look at something else here. I was on a different screen. Let's go to fund report. Let me share this with you guys and girls. All right, let me look up. This is the fund report. Nope, I don't want to look at that. I want to share another screen here. Okay, make sure I pull the right one. That's not it. That's not it. All right, so this is the fund report. I'm trying to blow it up here for you guys and girls to see it better. Annual taxes, this is the report. It's not going to tell me all the portfolio holdings. So 98% of it is in stocks. So right here, this tells me these are all the top companies that it has. 51% of the holders is in Tesla, Square. You know, that's cool. 51%, this is 51%. They're telling me 98% is in 99.9% of it is in stocks, 0.3% is in cash. And I don't see these are the top holdings, but I already read those out. And I'm trying to see who else is there. I want to get a whole list, but that's not giving me that. But anyway, you could do a little research there, maybe on the perspective somewhere they might list it out. But also, too, let's look at this company. All right, so when you look at this company here, this is another thing you got to look at, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go. When you look at this company, you will notice the turnover ratio. Portfolio turnover, 80%. That's extremely high. So they're moving stocks in and out all the time, whether it's good or bad or indifferent. So one of the things I look at this thing here, I look at a snapshot, and I go to the charts, veteran entrepreneur. I would go to the chart. I would look at year-to-date. I would compare it against the NASDAQ. It has outperformed the NASDAQ so far this year. So, okay, I like that. Because technology, okay, it beat it in 1 year, the 3 year, okay, 5 year, okay. So it is outperforming. It is outperforming. That's good. It is outperforming the NASDAQ, which is a technology-based one. So that's good. I do like that aspect. That's a thumbs up. But if you're looking for the FANG, that would not be a place I would go for the FANG. All right. Hopefully that helped you out. Here we go. He said the new FANG. Max B said ARK is cool. Yes, it's outperforming NASDAQ. I like that. Right. Mitch from Kentucky. All right. Pfizer, veteran entrepreneur, Pfizer, and I can't even say that other company's name. I'm pretty sure these are the companies that you're saying that's going to benefit from the coronavirus stocks, right? These are the coronavirus companies, you know? So people are saying, who are the companies? I'm going to look that up right here in a second. Let me see what y'all are saying. So he brought up Pfizer is one of the companies I heard, but I'm not sure. I have to do more research. And Modern, if I'm saying that correctly. Should I open up my lines? Not today, but when I do my live show, sometimes I have a line where y'all can call in and talk to me while I'm doing this too. And then Lieutenant Lawson says, who are the companies? We're going to get into that. Luminaire Wynn said, without the Senate approval, it is dead. You're right. This is just a House approval. The Senate will probably shoot it down. And, you know, the president got to sign off on it. He said, Max B said, after reading Wesley Learns to Invest, I became a better investor. And that's pretty cool. If you haven't done so, ladies and gentlemen, make sure you go out there and you grab the Children's Financial Literacy Book Series, Wesley Learns, the Children's Financial Literacy Book Series. I should have already had one on here. Make sure you grab that, Wesley Learns to Invest, Wesley Learns about credit, and Wesley Learns about insurance. They're all available everywhere. And I tell people all the time, don't donate to me, support me. Y'all give me 1 second. Let me change out this battery. Once I change this out, we're going to go into these coronavirus companies. I didn't think I was going to be on this long. I thought I was going to be in here and out of here. But, you know. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we are back. Like I always tell people, don't donate to me, support me, support this Wesley Learn series everywhere around the globe, all right? Should be worried about hyperinflation, not hyperinflation. Inflation is pretty low right now, but it is of concern due to all the stimuluses. Luminaire Will got a very good point. We spoke about that earlier. We spoke about, he's saying, without constant Federal Reserve stimulation, the stock market will collapse. And with all this stimulus, low interest rates, bond buying programs, giving people checks, you got that rich uncle that just keeps pumping money into the market. I think it's creating the next bubble. He said, should I call dollar cost average or wait for the next market downturn?
No, you should constantly be dollar cost averaging, buying a little bit. But the biggest way to hedge yourself against a market downturn is with having cash. So I'll buy a little bit. Maybe a SWPPX is only about $50. I would get that once a month. I would have that set up automatically. And then when something comes up crazy, then I would take advantage. That's why I like it's a core satellite portfolio approach. The core, meaning that the core would be in the index and the satellite goes out and finds different bargains. So that's what I would be doing for right now. I'll be dollar cost averaging, waiting on the next market downturn. And Casey, everybody know you got money, so you can do both. XLK, that's another ETF Max B brought up. He said, what be the best commodity to invest in right now against a depreciating dollar with all the money printing stimulus? I like silver, SLV. I hold a little bit of silver, SLV, right? Green Table says RAKF is moving pretty fast. Yes, the ARK is moving. That's pretty cool. That's the one we just looked up, I think, right, Green Table? Luminous says stocks will collapse as soon as corporations run out of stimulus checks from the federal government. They won't be able to buy their own stocks back and continue artificially. Now, that's one thing. One thing that I did see inside of the CARES Act was if you receive a PayPal protection plan, you cannot pay dividends and you have to cease stock purchasing. You can't purchase your own stocks back. So legally, they're not supposed to be purchasing their own stocks back. But I get what you're saying. I think that companies like Amazon would thrive. I think tech would thrive. But I think it's like companies like, you know, like look at McDonald's. McDonald's is thriving in this environment. Everybody would drive through. Look at Chick-fil-A. You know, even though Chick-fil-A is not publicly traded, Chick-fil-A is always packed. Everything with a drive through still is doing pretty well. And still some restaurants still have people in there, not as much as they used to, but they're still at capacity. So I believe that, yes, some people will disappear, but I think that other people will be built up. Look at companies like Snowflake. Look at companies that are going to be into the future, right? Clarence, what's going on? He said, what's up, brother, in Tallahassee right now? Okay, I thought you was in Jacksonville. He went from Jacksonville to Tallahassee. He get out there on the move. My guy, Clarence. So we talked about coronavirus testing stocks. Who are testing? Who is the biggest brand in the testing industry? So let's talk about one company that I looked up before the show. I haven't had the opportunity to do extensive research on these companies, but this is one that came to mind. Let's pull it up here. I can't even say this company name. ABBOT Laboratories. This is their 10Q. I think they put this 10Q out in June, if I'm not mistaken. It should have a date on here somewhere. But let's see what they're saying about their company. Let's look at the business. So when you look at a brand new company, one of the things I like to go to is table of contents. And then I would like to go to business. Let's go to, I want to see what their business is about. All right. Let's go to the business. Maybe it's on the 10Q they're not telling me. All right, let's go back to the table of contents. I'm on the SEC.gov. No finances. All right. All right, here we go. All right. No, I'm not concerned about that. Y'all give me 1 second. They have that's 1.7 billion shares out. Yeah, 1.7 billion shares out. Okay. I'm going to have to find that 10K. Let's go to that 10K. Then we'll come back. See if I can find their 10K. Y'all bear with me here for a second. 10Q, 10Q. 10Q is a quarterly report. 10K is the annual report. Let me look that up here. All right. All right. So the business. So this is a 10K. Aptop Laboratories is an Illinois corporation established in 1900. So their principal business is to discover, develop, manufacture, and sell a broad diversity of hair care products. Okay. So that's pretty much that whole thing. So now we kind of got an idea of their business, sell medical products. Let's go back to the most recent 10K filing. And let's see what they said about the business, see if we got anything here. This is the long, daunting research that I do to find companies. So, okay, so now let's go back here. Let's go to the 10K documents. Let's go to interactive. I like interactive because I could get both. Go to the 10Q. All right, we're on the 10Q. Let's see if they speak about it in 10Q. We're looking at their numbers now. Let's scroll down through their numbers. And let's see if they got anything they said. Okay. So they didn't say too much in their 10K. So now what I'm going to do. Okay, so to realize performance obligated, we're going to find domestic setting the performance. Okay. Dividend include under the 2 week. All right. Not something I care about there. They're talking about the investments. So now if I can't see it here, because some companies do this, some companies don't, they'll speak about it here. If not, then I have to go to their website, to the investor relations. All right, so they didn't really speak on too much there. Let me go here to their company investor relations. And I'm going to their investor relations and I want to see the most recent press release, because some companies speak through their products, some companies speak through their some companies speak through their annual reports, some companies speak through their, what you call it. So here we go here. Let's go back. Let me share this screen here. I'm on the website now, so y'all can see how I look at this. Where are we at? If you come in and hit that like, subscribe, comment, and share button. We got 30 people in the building live. So, you know, all right, October 21st. We don't care about the investor calendar, annual report. Let's go to investors newsletter, see what they're saying here. Okay, look, right here, September 30th, right here. Investors newsletter that came out September 30th, tech. Okay, with just a swipe of a card, they can do coronavirus testing in 15 minutes. So they got an app. They have an app now. September 20th, they're changing the game. This is their newsletter. They said they're changing the game. Here it is. Here we go here. They're talking about the coronavirus testing needed a massive scale. So this company here is talking about they are big in the coronavirus testing. Now, this company here, I can't even really say their name. It's kind of embarrassing. Up in the ante, and I don't want to say it the wrong way and sound like an idiot the whole podcast. Our lives have shifted again. So here they're talking about you can swipe this chip and get a coronavirus test in 15 minutes. The government is talking about backing it. They got a new app. The app paired with their company, new Ignite testing help facility entry into organizations like schools. So they're talking about going to schools. So this company here, they're using their technology to go into schools to do coronavirus testing. They got a $5 COVID testing to fill in testing gap for millions of Americans. So right here, this company here is telling me that big time they are into the coronavirus testing. They're using apps, all the other stuff like that. Stock symbol ABT, I think that is. Yeah, ABT is the stock symbol. So now let's look at their finances and let's see if this pulled up on their financial reports. So this is one of the ways I can find the money. Follow the money, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all bear with me here. This is live research. You're not going to get this anywhere else. who's doing live research on the SEC.gov. So now that I know that they're in the COVID business, they're in the COVID testing business, now I want to know, have money, do they receive money from the government? Let's see if I can find something here. So let's look, let's see if had they had an experience of growth. So this came out on July 30th. Not too big of a growth there. Interest, expenses, net earnings. Their net earnings didn't grow that much. These numbers in $1,000 and millions except. Okay. So that's a billion, seven billion. Okay. Reading that correctly, these are the thousands, millions, 7 million. So they got 7.3 million in net sales. Last year they had 7.9 million. Nothing there of note. Nothing there of note. Selling general admission, that went up. That's nothing of note. Their top line, I didn't see an increase in their top line, according in June. Their operating expenses declined. Net earnings kind of declined there. You see a net earnings decline from this time last year. So I'm trying to see if I can find a big injection of money. Maybe the first time around. I don't know if the first time around that they did this, that they collected money. And this is the way you find it. You got to go through the financial reports. So you're looking at here. This is the balance sheet. Nothing on the balance sheet. The income statement. I didn't see much on the income statement. I didn't see their top line revenue increase. All right, so here's their cash flow statement. Cash flow statement, I don't see anything here. Net earnings, cash flow came in from investing, acquisition of equipment, acquisition, net borrowing, proceeds from long-term debt. No, I don't see anything into that. Let me see if I can just type it in here and see anything. They didn't even bring up COVID in this whole report. They did not even bring up COVID in the whole 10Q report, in their financial report. They didn't even bring up the word COVID. I just did a search for the word COVID. I didn't see anything. So I hope I didn't spell COVID wrong. That'll be embarrassing. Let's go to 19. They don't even say anything about COVID-19. So let's go back to okay. Where am I down here? Okay, let's take a look here. Let's see if they even wrote anything about the stimulus package. Yeah, they wrote nothing about stimulus. They wrote nothing about COVID-19 and the latest financial report. So I don't see this company, in line. But now, so the first thing I would do is to find the companies who are in that business of COVID-19. Then, what's the company? I'm sorry about that. So y'all can read this so y'all can follow along with me. Let me write the company. I'm sorry. Here we go. I'm going to put in it. Don't worry about it. I saw somebody's comment that said, Prince, you didn't tell us what company it is. I'm going to put it's ABT. It's a stock symbol. ABBOT. ABBOTT. I put in the comments. ABBOT, right? I put in the comments. So here we go here. Let's see what you guys and girls are saying. Do you think AG stock is a good buy? I hold IAU and AG stock. AG sounds like a gold stock. I never heard of AG. I know what IAU is. That's gold. I like SLV. I like silver a little bit more. Oh, the silver company. Oh, it is a silver company. Let's see what this company is about. They engage in the production, development, exploitation. Oh, so they acquire minerals, properties. No, unprofitable company. No, I wouldn't mess with it, me personally. I look at it immediately and say, okay, it's unprofitable. If you're looking to invest in the silver, if you're looking to take advantage of silver, me, I like the iShares silver, right? So I like SLV more than AG. AG is a company that's unprofitable and they're trying to buy things. So it's a no-go for me on there. IAU ETFs. Yep, that's gold. Hi, I'm from Lima, Peru. We got Peru in the building. Y'all give a round of applause. We got Peru in the building live today. All right, Kate, I see you. I've never been to Peru. Never been to Peru. Okay. Good, good. Good evening. How you doing, Miss Melanie, down there in Miami, Florida? Veteran entrepreneur, where you from? He said Pfizer. Pfizer might be one. And we have Johnson & Johnson might be another. But you know what, the veteran entrepreneur, I like to specialize in companies that stick into one thing. For a prime example, I can invest into Apple, not Microsoft. Microsoft does, Amazon does do cloud computing because it acquired a company. Microsoft does do cloud, or I can get Snowflake that specializes. So the difference is when you specialize in something, you usually get a greater return. If I'm going behind COVID-19, I'm going to start with the company that specializes in it. Johnson & Johnson, yes. Do they do it? Yes. I heard Kodak was trying to jump into the business, and Kodak is just trying to reinvent themselves. So that's how I look at it. Yeah, I believe there are a dividend aristocrat. A dividend aristocrat is a company that pays 25 years plus on dividends, and they continue to rise their dividend. They are a dividend aristocrat. When I see the dividends, I'm not a big fan of dividend aristocrats. I want to defer my taxes. Pay as less taxes as possible. Dividends can increase your taxes. Tracy Walker said, fires the CEO. Company refused to take taxpayer money for COVID-19. That's good to say, Ms. Tracy Walker. Good point. They're not going to be benefiting when that bill get passed. And as an investor, I want somebody who's going to benefit from that bill to get passed. I want somebody who has that rich uncle that's going to cut the check. He said, it's a shame that 201 American fellow Americans who have died from COVID will never get to use these tests or vaccination. That is a shame. You know, I know a lot of people back in my hometown died from COVID. That's definitely not cool. She said, you pronounced that silly. I thought it was something else. I know I'm not the best. I'm not a good reader. Julie, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm glad I can send it to you. Oh, she said it's going right into her Roth IRA because it pays. I like that, Julia. I like that, Julia. She's looking at bettering herself, looking at taking advantage. Like, and I did this episode because everybody thought I was going to sit back here and talk about, oh, look, the house passed this. I want you guys and girls to learn how to read how my eyeballs read it and say, forget all of the right side, the left side, the independent side, the this, that. I'm looking at, okay, what's in here and who can benefit as an investor? All right. Luminary Wynn says more people are dying from COVID. All right, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm going to do a recap of what we talked about today. We talked about the stimulus bill being passed by the House, $2.2 trillion. The House, it's like, I look at it as like mom and dad. Mom has said she wants to pass this. Dad, it's the Senate. The Senate is probably going to shoot it down. But Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats have gotten together and they passed it through the House. And now it has to go, they have passed through the House. And now it has to go through the Senate. It'll probably get shut down. But it is what it is. The second thing is you have political risk. We're right around the corner from a new election. Some Democrats saying, hey, let's wait until President Trump is gone. So when he's gone, we may have the chance to control the Senate and the House and have a Democratic president. And they're saying the Republicans may want to get it done now because it could be a great push to the president. It's going to, you know, could be a great for the push right here before the election. So you got all these type of political risks. The top three people, you got the Democrats, Republican, and the Department of Treasury. That's what putting this whole political mudslinging thing that I don't care about. With all the stimulus bills going on, I think that this is creating the next bubble with low interest rates, with pumping money into companies, pumping money into the stock market, putting money into people's pockets that are unemployed, the bond buying programs. The government is slowly buying corporate bonds, with AKA corporate debt. So this could be the predicate the next big bubble, stock market crash. Now, with all this happening, the good side is this is very bullish for airline stocks and for stocks in general. Because guess what? We notice everybody that's going back and forth, everybody wants to give, look at the common denominator. Everybody wants to give relief to the airline industry. Everybody is in cahoots to get COVID testing. Then we looked at COVID testing stocks. We went through COVID testing stocks to see, hey, when this bill gets passed, since the Democrats and Republicans are on par with spending $75 billion on COVID testing, what companies out there who are doing COVID testing that can get a piece of that pie? So we went through those companies to see who benefited from it, right? Or who could potentially benefit that you can add to your portfolio. All right, so that's a recap. Let's see what y'all are saying here. Max B, I hear you, but I got to go. He said GM and Nokia deal. I'm going to do a different episode on that, the GM and Nokia deal. But I got to get out of here tonight. I can't look up anything else. She said, this is stocks. Julie said, Lumineer, this is stock talk. No one cared, came here to hear about death. I like to keep it positive. This is me. I like to focus on what I can control. If I get COVID and die, you know, I mean, I can control my things, but I focus on what I can control. You get stressed out when you worry about things you can't control. If I'm worrying about who's going to be the president, who's going to be the Democrat, who's going to be the Republican, he said this, she said that. I don't get caught up in that stuff. I look at what I can control. And I look at, I look at things I can control. All right? That's me. But everybody to each their own. Max B, I probably have to get something else. Luminaire Wins, that's my guy right there. He says, thanks, Prince. Smash the likes. Yes, y'all hit the like button. She said, I was so bad about Nokia. I brought 3 weeks ago, sold it last week, so mad. Why you sold it last week? Guess what? You saw the stock market going down. That's why. My airlines are so good. I don't see them declining. Not LUV, not DAL. However, I brought the dip. LUV is Southwest Airline. DAL is Delta Airlines. I own a bunch of Southwest. You're right, Luminaire. I care about all Americans too. More than anybody else. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I got to get out of here. I thank y'all for tuning in for tonight. I got to get some studying done. I got some schoolwork to do. I got to research. I got a lot of things I got to do, phone calls I got to make before I get out of here and get some rest for the night. So ladies and gentlemen, I thank y'all for tuning in. Y'all hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, hit that share button. If you're not doing it already, make sure you go ahead and get your Investor Show Cup down there in the description box. Get you learn this stuff, but make sure you're teaching your kids too. Grab the Wesley Learns book series, Wesley Learns to Invest, Credit, and Insurance. And also, if you are someone who like to catch this live on YouTube, that's great. But we're also on Spotify, iHeart, Pandora, iTunes, Google Podcasts, all of the great stuff. So, ladies and gentlemen, look at all that great stuff. Check us out all across the globe. But once again, until the next video, podcast, cartoon, or what else crazy you see me doing around the globe, peace, be safe. I'm out, and thank you.